Praise God.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Praise God.
God bless you. Long to see you. Mavis, I think she should say something. Don't you think so?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I'll continue to say something that was said many years ago that I find very refreshing every time I find myself in a spot. And it is from Psalm 136.
Hallelujah.
One morning, I guess I had a dream, and I got awake with the words, "Cause them to remember that my mercy endureth forever."
Amen. Amen.
And ever since, that psalm has stuck with me. And whenever I hear of problems, whenever different ones would share problems, especially if there are situations where there is a feeling that it's not going to work out, or it's not possible,
mm-hmm.
He said, cause them to remember that his mercy is endureth
forever.
Right. He never ceases. It's Psalm 136.
Mm-hmm.
And it begins with, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever."
Amen.
"Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. Who overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth
forever.
Oh, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. who gave food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 There is nowhere that we can go or nothing in which we can be involved that his mercy does not endure. So the Lord said, cause them to remember that his mercy endureth forever.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the archaeologists found his bed, an iron bed, over 13 feet long.
Wow.
And so that part of scripture was just exactly true. The scripture told you how high or tall he was. And it said, God slew Og, the king of Bashan. Mm-hmm. So the giants that will come against us and the giants in our lives, we should not fear.
Amen.
We should not be afraid, amen, of the things that are about to come upon the earth. You know, people say that they come to church to get comfort and all like that, and sometimes I make them afraid. But listen, brethren, if the truth is going to make you afraid,
amen,
would you rather not hear it? I prefer to know that it's coming than to live in a fool's paradise. You know, as our brother Frank just said, the economy is going to bust. It's going, you know, and it's going to be just pretty and nice, and everybody's sailing along, and they're trusting in the stock market and everything else, and boom, it's going to go bust. And what will you do? You know, the people who live on money, their whole life is money. They look to money. I mean, I know some people who are like that. They look to money like man should look to God. And without money, they are at a loss. The first thing God did with me, with us, in our lives, is to teach us to live without money. Yes. You know, formerly, you don't have any money in your pocket, you wouldn't dare go downtown. You must have money in your pocket. It's part of your life. Amen. And you feel good when you have money. You feel comfortable when you have a certain amount of money. But we were taught to live without money. Thus, when God sent us to America, we were able to come here with $12 in our pockets to do a missionary journey. Hallelujah. No money. And when we made the first trip, We went from Miami to Fort Lauderdale. We paid $8 and we had $4 left. Yes. I remember going to Maine on a mission, and we ran out of money at Fitchburg. Amen. The car got busted. And we stopped at Fitchburg, Massachusetts, and we ran out of money. And a sister came and said, take a $5. Maybe you don't have enough for gas. And we said, thank you. We took the $5, bought the gas, and we ran out again at Portland. We had a guzzler, though, you know. We ran out at Portland, and I said, May, this gauge is saying empty, and if the police catch us on the highway without fuel, they will prosecute us. So let us come off the highway. And when we turned at Portland, the exit to Portland, we turned to come off the highway, maybe said, look at this. And there was a $5 on the floor. Amen. And we turned into the gas station. We bought $4 gas. And it took us to, I think we were going to Bangor, Maine, or something like that. We went, it took us right where we were going, and we had a dollar left, and we put it in the offering plate. Thank God. We learned to live without money. Money never bothered us. You get up in the morning, you have no breakfast, it didn't bother you. You still have a mission to do. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. But this generation and you, brethren, times are coming when you're going to have to trust God. instead of trust your pockets.
That's right.
Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. The word this morning is the overcomers.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to read from Revelation chapter 3. There were seven churches, and the seven churches were depicted seven ages in which the church would function. And in every age, you had overcomers. And in every age, you had failures. And so, let us look at the Laodicean age, which is the age in which we are at this time. The end of the church, when the church would really come down to nothing and be destroyed. We look at chapter 3 and we look at verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. Yes, let us look at the word overcometh. It's not a word that we use. Adding on cometh onto the word is not something that we learned as English at school. But it has a meaning that our English does not tell us of. Modern English does not speak of overcometh. Now, if the present continuous of overcome is overcoming, but it doesn't match. It doesn't fit. Overcoming means that right now I'm overcoming, but tomorrow I might not. And yesterday I might not have. But overcomet means that there is a comet in you that overcomes. In other words, you overcome yesterday, you overcome today, and you will overcome tomorrow.
Amen.
You overcomet. So that's the tense that is used in the Old English that is not carried forward in our language. So then when you overcomet, you are an overcomer.
Amen.
Amen. So it is something built in you. Overcoming is a thing that God puts into you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As a seed. It's like having the seed of the overcomer. And the seed of the overcomer make you overcome yesterday. He didn't say you were a good boy.
Nice.
Amen. It just said that you overcome the bad. Amen. And today, you overcome today. And as God is instructing me, I want to deal with one area of overcoming first. The area of overcoming our ancestral inheritance. This is something you didn't do.
Right.
And God said he subjected you to sin.
Right.
Eh? God subjected you to sin. God made you a sinner without you doing anything. You're born in sin. You're shaped in iniquity. Now he has set a hurdle for you. And he said, those who overcome will have a special prize. He said, especially in this age, to him, verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne.
Amen.
Do you hear me?
Amen.
In this time period, those who overcome will have a special reward. And the reward is that you will become like Jesus Christ. You will have to sit in the throne. Now, what is it meant to sit with him in his throne? God has a very big program. We know part of it, but part of it we do not know. And so the part that we know is that this earth will become a paradise. The whole earth will be like the Garden of Eden. And God will have rulers ruling over various areas of the earth.
Right.
And through the eternal ages. Now, this is my imagination. You mind if I put in a little here? But I believe it. I believe it is hinted in Scripture. The Word of God hints it. He didn't say it directly. But through the eternal ages, all the realms, when you lift your eyes up and you see the stars, all the realms of God will be peopled by people from the earth. That this earth is a nucleus where God is breeding an overcoming nation. A nation of, what do I call them? Give me a godly word.
Holy.
He said a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. But somehow or the other, it's something else that I want to say. He's breeding a nation of Christ-like humanity. And this humanity will expand through all the realms of God.
Wow.
Hallelujah. So this, you know, when I used to breed bees, I used to keep bees. And in the agricultural department, I had my own apiary. And we would take a queen bee from Italy. Believe it or not, we get an Italian queen, long, beautiful queen, and she could lay 5,000 eggs a day. Amen? She would lay 5,000 eggs a day. That's why there are so many bees in the world. Amen. And we would kill out the queen that we have, and we would put that queen into a little cage. And we would put a piece of candy between the queen and the rest of the hive. And if you do not do that, the hive would kill her. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't allow any stranger to come in there and be their queen. Mm-hmm. But she begins to eat the candy from her side, and they begin to eat from their side. And by the time they meet, they become friends.
Yeah.
And they accept her. You see, that's the only way they'll accept her. But then what happens, the next thing happens, you go and look at your hive, and all the bees are big, large bees, like the queen. Because she laid the eggs. You see. So, God is building a nucleus of men in the earth. We had what we call a nucleus hive. And we would take that nucleus hive and we'd transfer queens from that hive to the other hive. The next thing, you had mighty powerful bees that could fly 6 miles in any direction and reap all the flowers and the harvest from that direction. You get a lot of honey and so. Amen. Now, after that bee lesson, you should all be beekeepers. Amen. Now, the lesson here then is that God is breeding an overcoming generation, an overcoming people. But then when you think of what you have to overcome, it is almost impossible. Amen. The first overcoming that you have to overcome is your ancestral nature.
That's right.
You might be German background, and there are many who are German background. Some are African background, and all these nations had their own ancestral demonic problem. In other words, the humanity has been breeding demons. For the past 6,000 years, we have been breeding demons. The things that you see occur in the world today, they are from the demonic world. That the demons are expressing themselves through humanity. A demon has no ability to express itself. It has no body. He has lost his body, and he wants a body through which he can smoke and drink and cuss and do all the fornication and so on. So he cannot enjoy it, but he gets satisfaction when he dwells in the realm of darkness. And so you wonder to yourself, why did the Almighty God, a good God, make humanity that he could become a demon? Why would a loving, nice, beautiful, wonderful God, who we sing about, an exalted Father, why would he do that? Amen. Well, we will find out soon. But look what he did. He made you a little lower than the angels. But he crowned you with glory and honor. Then he make you to have dominion over the works of his hand. Huh? Why did he do that? You see, if he had made you an angel, what would you become?
Automatic.
No
soul.
You'd be an angel. For the rest of your life, you would be an angel. You would never have to overcome anything. Amen. You'd be an angel. Amen. And all you could do is do the will of God, do the things God wanted. In you, therefore, there would be no growth. Because you would never be a son of God.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah. Amen.
At what time did he ever say to an angel, come, sit at the right hand of God?
Exactly.
At what time did he ever say to an angel, you come and sit at the right hand of God? But he said that to you.
Yeah. Amen.
Little wretched men, full of sin, filthiness, darkness. Amen.
Amen.
That's the one he wants.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the one he wants, who can look back and said, once I was blind.
Hallelujah.
But now I can see. Amen. The light of the world. Amen. Is Jesus.
Amen.
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 And so, because of this great promise, he made you low down. And you are going to grow. But guess what? He didn't just say, well, you are like a plant. If I give you good fertilizer, you grow big. If I don't water you, probably you wilt. He didn't say that. He said, man, what I'm going to do is put all the fertilizer into your grasp. And I'm going to put all the glory before you. And I'm going to give you everything you want. But you have to take it. You are going to get as much of God as you take. He said the kingdom of heaven is taken by force, and it's men and women of force that take the kingdom of God. You see what you want, and you said, this is what I want.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And he said, if you want it, yes, you'll get it. You'll suffer for it, and you will get it. Yeah, that's what he told John. His two brothers came to him. We would like to be at the right hand and at the left hand. He said, it's not for me to give, but he said, what you're going to have is that the cup of this of suffering that I suffer, that's what you're going to get.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Because without suffering, there is no progress.
Amen.
We have to go through the suffering. You can see the men and women who go through suffering, because those are the men and women who shine.
Amen.
The more suffering, the more you shine.
Amen.
Amen. I would never like to know that God put a suffering before me that I backed down from.
Amen.
Oh God, I know that beyond that suffering there is a glory.
Amen.
And if I back down, I've lost the glory.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, we have to be purged. We have to be purged of the earth. Remember now, the carnal things will never become spiritual.
No.
Did you know that?
Right.
I know one brother who boasts all the while. If I say the exact thing that he said, you might find out who I'm talking about. But let's say he said, I'm a Jamaican.
I'm a Jamaican. You're talking to a Jamaican. You want to fight, you're going to fight a Jamaican. Uh-huh. What did he do? He told the demon spirits that rule over the Jamaican that he is 100% with them. And so he never will rise. He'll never get over it until he rejects being a Jamaican.
Yes. Amen.
If you believe you're American, you have got to reject being an American. If you want to be a son of God, you cannot be an American.
Amen.
Amen. You cannot be a German. You will have to reject the spirits. You know, we have come upon a certain spirit in Germany. In Switzerland, Germany seemed to be the stronghold of the spirit of going back to ancient times, they called them the barbarians. But coming on further, it was like the Romans, the Roman Empire, and all that. You look at the wars that come out of Europe. That in Europe is soaked with blood from generation to generation. Amen. And the last one we had was Hitler. And the millions and millions of people. How many million people died in the World War? I know that 10 million died in Russia alone. You know, but it's millions and millions of people. One man. Mm-hmm. One man did it. Because he gave himself to the devil and to the spirit that ruled Prussia. Mm-hmm. The Prussian spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm dwelling on the Prussian spirit because this morning we were praying about it. And I get to realize how many people in our body are really Germans. Mm-hmm. Amen. They're really Germans. And you have, there's something there that you have to overcome. Mm-hmm. There's a spirit there that must conquer, that must rule, that must be on top of humanity. Mm-hmm. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen. And the Antichrist is coming out of Europe. Yeah, I believe the Antichrist is coming out of Rome. Mm-hmm. He might not be an Italian, but he is coming out of the Roman Church. Mm-hmm. You understand? Yeah. And so, because Rome is the seat of the Antichrist. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you can query that afterwards when we come to question time. But Rome is the seat of the Antichrist. And when you look around the world, you see the stamp of Rome all over the world, all over the world. And we go into dark places, and all of a sudden, boom, a mighty cathedral standing in the middle of nowhere, no roads to go there. But there is this thing standing there. And it is a symbol of what Rome did to the world, you know. The Roman Empire did not have the whole world, but the Holy Roman Empire took the whole world. The whole world. Have you ever thought of it? How in Japan they have the same calendar as we have? In Africa, in all the dark places, they can tell you that today is the 20th of November. Has it ever occurred to you why? Because Rome, upon the pain of death, they enforced all their time upon the world. And so now, you must understand where we are. Now, so you have something to overcome. Let us see what do we have to overcome. The ancestral spirits. I can see now that I'm not going to get through this word in this session. Lord, because I see it before me. The ancestral spirits that ruled your fathers, mm-hmm. ruled your whole nation, ruled in wherever you were from. Sometimes you don't even know where you're from. Amen. You just know that there are certain spirits that rule and reign in your family. These spirits go from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. They do not die mm-hmm. unless you kill them. I don't know if you heard me. Unless you kill them. Somebody said, can you kill a spirit? Yes. You can make him useless, powerless, drain him of everything that he has in him, take away his power, and put him into the abyss.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that something to shout about?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now, how can, in other words, they had all power. The scripture said that death reigned, help me now, from
Adam
to Moses. Did you ever consider such a scripture? Why Moses? Because Moses is the first man that cheated death.
Amen.
Amen. From Adam to Moses. Amen. Of course, Enoch walked with God. And Enoch was not because God took him. But Enoch never died. You see. Elijah took off. But Moses, because of the law, he cheated death. Because Jesus, God said to him, you're going to die at such and such a moment. He said, go up in the mountain to meet me. Now, when Moses went to meet God, what did he do? Every time he goes up to meet God, what did he do? He obeyed the law. Because the law said, you must not come into the house of God empty-handed.
Yeah.
Last night I saw a lot of empty-handed people coming in with their emptiness. You should have come in with something of God Amen. To give to the meeting.
Amen.
You had no present to give. You had no offering to give. Hey man, you come this morning and there was a better, you know, you seem to have been revived.
Yeah.
So you brought some offering this morning. Hallelujah. Okay, well, Moses took his little lamb under his arm and went up to meet God as usual. Amen. And God said, you're going to die. When you meet me up in the mountain, you're going to die. So what he did, he laid his lamb down. He offered a sacrifice. And his sins were forgiven. Mm-hmm. And he died on the sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
So when he died, the Bible said the angels took him and buried him. That means to say Satan couldn't get his body. And Satan was upset with God. Why did you do that? God just rebuked him. You should know better, Satan. You can only have power over a man that has sinned. If a man's sins are forgiven, you have no power over him.
Amen.
Amen. And Moses got forgiveness because as he offered the sacrifice, his sins were forgiven. He died on the sacrifice. He was in the presence of God. Amen. Amen. Now, we're talking about overcoming. And so, our greatest problem, brethren, is to overcome a spirit that we had no power over. But God begins to give you power. And Jesus said, I give unto you, speaking to the disciples, power over the power of the enemy. And no one shall by any means hurt you. You have the power now. I tell you a little story. We were people that love to fight. I don't know if anybody in here has that problem. Or like my poor wife, she doesn't understand what I mean. She wouldn't understand what a person who loves to fight means. I mean, you're walking around and you're just looking for a fight. You cannot help yourself. You're measuring people, you know, and so on, so on, so. It was a horrible thing. And you were just looking for a fight in your mind. You wanted to fight. And when a fight comes, you're actually relieved. You're happy that you're in a fight. Amen. And if the person doesn't hit you hard enough, you feel that he's not worthy of fighting. You don't enjoy that fight. You enjoy the fight when you get hit. Then you get mad. Then you can tear up everybody. And it's hard to understand that if you've never been in it. But this was a spirit that was upon us. And we used to boast about the spirit. You know? And the six boys of us would go out in the street and we were invincible. Amen. We were invincible. I cannot remember any time when six of us had to fight. We just stood up and watched one beat somebody. And if anybody else come in, then two more might go in. You know, but it was a madness. But it was a spirit. And I discovered the spirit in me. And I started to cry before I got saved. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things that brought me to God. One of the things that brought me to God was the madness of the spirit that occupied my family. Now, when I got saved, the first thing happened, that spirit got a wallop. He got a blow. And the blow knocked him out. The next thing happened, my sister was having a fight with her husband. Huh? My sister was having a fight with her husband. The terrible mouth. And you know, she was just mouthing him and carrying on. And she screamed out. And I said, Tiny, we call her Tiny, kneel down. It is a peculiar thing, brethren. If you are facing a spirit, the first thing you have to do is to take authority over the spirit.
Amen.
If you don't have the authority, don't bother with it.
Right.
Mind your own business.
Right.
Leave it alone.
Right.
I went to her and said, kneel down, Tiny. And she just knelt down. And as she knelt down, I lay my hands on her and begin to rebuke the spirit. And she, man alive. She bawled like a beast. And in Kingston, I mean, it's one of the most populated areas in the world. That means people live on top of you all around. People begin to run. They hear screaming, a woman screaming at the top of her voice. And they began to run. And they ran into that house. And as they came into the house, they went down on their knees. And a revival started there and started sweep the whole of that part of Kingston.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
What happened? The demon that governed the family for ages and ages. The Frenchman come from France, a rebel. He come and settle in Jamaica. He married an Indian woman who was one of the slaves. The Indians weren't really slaves. They were what we call them indentured workers. They brought them from India to work for 2 shillings a month or something like that. And they were not really slaves.
India.
They brought them from India. And so, it follows us. The strangest thing is, almost of all of us married to Indians. You see, they brought them from India, and she, he married this woman, and a rebel. He was a rebel. He rebelled against society, everything, and. So, the next thing happened is that my mother is a big, black, handsome woman. Hallelujah. Powerful and verbose. Amen. So then it came from Africa. Africa, India, France. Amen. We love to fight. Amen. And when God slammed that spirit, bam, the sister got saved first. Then the brother, Frank, you remember Frank, my brother, the little one. And he and he got saved next. You see, those were the worst ones. Oh no, the worst ones got saved first. I was the one of the worst ones that called me the murderer. Nobody fooled me. Go for the jugular vein. So we got saved first. And then the family. Before that, not one soul in my family has ever been saved from all the ancestors coming along. Never heard of one being saved. Hallelujah. And then they began to be saved. What happened? I said, my God, what's happening here? God says, as you hit the spirits that govern your family begin to be saved one by one. If you are not an overcomer, you will not overcome certain spirits, because certain spirits have never been overcome.
Amen.
From time, from they let loose in hell, they have never been overcome. Can you understand it?
Yes.
I went to India, and I do not know why I did what I did. But I had an interest in Kali, the great spirit of death in India, and I wanted to learn more about Kali. So I went into a Kali store. Now, I did not know that a Kali store, where they send all the memorabilia for Kali, that it must be run by one of the practitioners. Amen? I didn't know that. I went into the store to ask this man, have you got anything here about the spirit Kali? He looked at me like that. I said, do you have? He said, just take down and gave me. He took down and gave me. I bought it. I paid him for it. And I went home. My goodness. My goodness. You don't do that, brethren. I didn't know what I was doing. I was offering a challenge to the worst spirit on earth. In other words, that spirit met the apostle Thomas and killed him right there where I was. You understand? Thomas landed at Nagarkoil, which is down the tip of India, and he began to preach, and he traveled up to where we call Madras, is now Chennai, right? Chennai. And he traveled up to there, and the Hindus decide to kill him, and they ran at him, and he ran up into a mountain, and they went up there and killed him. And of course, the Catholics built a shrine up there. So we went up there to look at the shrine. Now, this spirit could not have overcome Thomas. What he did is to send someone to kill him. And they killed him. So this spirit, you say, has not been overcome. Nobody has overcome the spirit Kali. Went into the, you know, you remember Mother Teresa? Well, Mother Teresa, her ministry is in the what they call it now? We would call it a hospital. It's not a hospice. We would call it a hospice. But anytime people are dying, they took them to this temple of Kali to die. And Mother Teresa go in there and pray for the people that are dying. that is what her ministry, to send people on to glory. So then this spirit, when I got home tonight, and having studied these things and read them, I was about to go to bed. And as I got my eyes closed, immediately the spirit jumped into the room and tackled me. I grappled with the thing like this and begin to speak the word of God. And he was just going like this. And the word of God, it prevented him doing anything to me, but it didn't stop him. He was still there laughing with the big dirty teeth, you know, laughing and trying to get at me. And while we were there struggling, the Lord whispered in my right ear. He said, "The blood." He said, "The blood."
Amen.
He said, "The blood." And when he said the blood, I remember the blood. Can you imagine that? You have a weapon, and you don't remember to use the weapon. And you are in a fierce battle of life and death, and you didn't remember the weapon until God's Spirit had to come and remind you of the weapon. Let me show you it here in Revelation. He said, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." The 12:11. Yeah. 12:11. "And they overcame him." They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, how do you use the blood of the Lamb to overcome an evil spirit? Because if you have a weapon, you must know how to use it. And don't tell me that you're going to wait until you get into the battle to practice with that weapon. You have to learn to use the weapon by practice. You know, we were reading the word this morning. The scriptures speak of them that are meat, strong meat, belongeth to them whose senses are exercised. Exercise. You see, men, when they take you into boot camp, they make you practice. Practice shooting. Practice. You have to practice. You see, strong meat. Now, if you have not been practiced in the blood, you are yet a child. You're not going to overcome in battle, because the battles that we have to go up against in this time and at this hour are the worst spirits that ever walked the earth, that came out of heaven and were cast down to the earth. These are the worst ones. We have to finish them off. That's why God said the saints who are gone on before, without us, they will not be made perfect, because they are waiting on us to finish off the devil and his host. Are you with me?
Yes.
Cover in Jesus. Now, they overcame him by the blood. Now, let me give you another story. You know, I'm a storyteller. Wow, I have so many stories. Overcoming by the blood. One day in my, you know, Christian training as a young Christian, Jesus said to me, "Come with me. Let me show you the blood." I went with him to the whipping, when the first blood was drawn. You know, I asked God, why is it Isaiah the prophet says, by his stripes we are healed? Why? Why by his stripes? Did anybody ever ask that question? Why by his stripes? I mean, we know, you understand? By his stripes we are healed. Yeah. From the first blood was shed, yeah, we were healed. That's what Jesus told me. So he told me to go. And I stood there and I watched the blood, the beating, the whipping by his stripes. And he took me through. And he took me through the man spitting in his face. And his hands were tied. He couldn't even wipe it. Yeah. And he carried me through the thorn, the crown of thorns. And what I saw was, it reminded me of a pin cushion. Mm-hmm. And the cushion, the thorns were put like this on his head. And a man took a rod and boom, hit it. The scripture said, he shall smite the shepherd with the rod. Huh? Smite him on his head. And the thorns came out through. The point of the thorns were pinned down on his head. If you wondered what kept them there, even when he was on the cross, he had the crown on his head. It was the pincushion effect that the thorns went through the head and the blood streamed down his face like sweat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeshua Hulabahandai. Holy God, amen, 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 amen. Say, cause me to remember. Yes. Hallelujah. After that, the next blood was the whip on his back. And the flesh fly off when the cat and nine tail take it. I used to be assistant prosecutor in the Resident Magistrate's Court in Jamaica. And one day we had a case of Preda Larceny, that is, a man goes into another man's field, dig up his food and steal from the field. It was a horrible crime because he just destroyed a whole crop, you know, to get what he wanted. He had no care to plant back or anything like that. And they had a whipping. And they would use a cat o' nine tail. And the cat o' nine tail was a leather strap with nine tails. And at the end of each tail, they would sew in a lead ball. Now, if any of you know the street, in the street they used to have what we call knuckle duster. And they would have the leather cover lead. And when you hit a man with that, it would bruise the blood inside, but you would see no mark outside. And this is the type of thing they had. And when the man would strike you like this, it would give you nine blows across your back. Well, we had that in the courts in Jamaica to beat some of the bad criminals. And many of the men who were beaten, they were crippled up for life. Yes, they were crippled up for life, though. Yeah. And we had a special strong policeman. We call him Stanko. And Stanko, they call him out to beat a man. And when he's finished beating that man would be finished. Now, when they committed rape, these guys would take pleasure in beating them across their back. They wouldn't rape anybody anymore for the rest of their life. Hallelujah. Now, that's what I didn't understand, how Jesus could take 39 strokes from the cat o' nine. Amen. But he took it. He was superhuman. Any man would have died before he would not have reached the cross. You see. And that is what Satan wanted. But he carried the cross after they beat him like that. He carried the cross. And I mean, when he did fall down under it, you must know that physical strength could not bear it. And God ordained that he should fall down. So that Simon of Cyrene was able to help him to take the cross. But the blood, I want to talk to you about the blood, because it's a weapon that you have got to install in your mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you install it in your mind, it will go down into your heart. And if it goes down into your heart, automatically you'll pull your sword.
Amen.
See, I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. You know, it is a reflexive action that will happen to you. In other words, the Spirit will activate your sword in the time of need. Amen. Amen. Caution. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so, I went with him through the whole ordeal until he went upon the cross. And when they dropped the cross into the hole, and the thing tear his hand, and he was hanging like this, his head was slant to the left, but he was drooping down on his hands like this. Hallelujah. And the blood came down from the head. It came down the arm, twirl around the armpit, twirl around down his body. The blood was coming from his feet down on the foot of the cross. And the blood was coming from the side. They punctured his side and come out. And all of the blood had to be drained out. Like when you kill an animal, you hang it up and then you skin it, and it drains the blood, because you mustn't eat the meat with the blood. It drains the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ drained out. And you wonder why. You wonder why. Because God had a secret. God had a secret. When he made man, amen, he made man and put him down on the earth, a big statue made out of clay. Hallelujah. And then he issued himself into the clay. The Bible said he breathed. What else could you say in language to make human beings understand what it is to exhale God? Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Guys, he exhaled. God exhaled himself into the man. And what God had in his mind for this man manifested down there. And the man got up and looked around. God said, it is good. Amen. Yes? He said, it is good. Thus, when Jesus Christ was on the cross and he made that last cry, it was an exhaling. Hallelujah. Yeshua. Yeshua. It was an exhaling of the God that was in him. Hallelujah. And all was left there was the bare man without God. He exhaled him and he cried. And the Bible said the rocks, the earth shook. Yeah. I think it was an earthquake that shook the whole world. Yeah. The earth shook. And the rocks ran. And all that was in Christ was issued forth. And one of the things that was issued forth was the command of resurrection. And Moses, Abraham, Adam stirred in their grave. Amen. Oh yes. They stirred in their grave. And the Bible said when Jesus resurrected, they all came out and they walked the streets of Jerusalem and showed themselves. Hallelujah. You see, now if some of these unbelievers had known what the scripture said, they wouldn't have written it. A lot of unbelievers would hope that such things were not in the Bible. They are trying to make a correction. It is too late. We've got it already. Hallelujah. 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 Abba Hoshiba. Amen. And so the blood, our weapon. Why is it our weapon? As I was saying, God had put a secret in the blood. And that is the life that was in God. God put the life into a plasma, a red plasma, and put it into the man. And he said, look here. He said, don't kill man. Any man who kills a man, his life will be forfeited.
Right.
Are you with me, brethren?
Yeah.
Some of us are doves and we don't believe in corporal punishment. God believes in corporal punishment.
Yes, he does.
The reason is that you forfeit a life for a life.
Right.
All the innocent blood that is shed will have to be requited. Because when innocent blood is shed, a certain curse is upon the land.
Exactly.
Hallelujah.
Oh my God.
Amen.
Amen.
God has given you blood power.
Hallelujah.
So that through your blood power, you can wipe out some of this curse.
Yeah.
That is upon a place. If you're going to a hotel room to sleep and there is innocent blood shed in the hotel room, you must pray and command it to be wiped out. Cancel it out and you sleep good.
Amen.
Something is coming to me that I have to minister with some wisdom. Blood is the life from your body. When you issue forth that life to a woman, she brings forth a life. God ordains it like this. If you throw away that substance on the ground, you have destroyed a life. God will kill you. In other words, you are in death for that purpose. Therefore, abortion becomes a type of murder that some of us think, and maybe some of us used to participate in, but no more. It is murder because it is the life that God has put into you for the procreation of the human species that you have expended upon the earth. And when the man was told by God to go into his dead brother's wife so that they would bring forth seed unto his dead brother, the man refused to do it, and he threw the seed upon the ground, and God smite him dead immediately. Are we understanding a little more of what we're dealing with? So there is not anything like pro-life. It's not like pro-life. It's more than pro-life. We are dealing with life and death. Anything that destroys the life that God has put into you is murder. Amen. If you go and you kill yourself, you're a murderer.
That's right.
If you die a murderer, you go to hell. So those who commit suicide are murderers who murder themselves. And God Almighty speaks against this. The church should rise up in the end time and overcome the situation that is in our midst.
Amen.
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 Hosanna, amen. Yoshubahala Hosabayan Sankarabai. Haba Hushiba. Amen. Now, we could go a little further with that, but let's get back upon the main thought. He said, ye overcome them by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Now, what is the word of your testimony? Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. When you speak in the spirit and you speak life.
Amen.
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 When you speak life, those who are dying before you receive a quickening. Therefore, God put a life in you that you might expend the life to others.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Sometimes it's just a word of encouragement. Sometimes it's just a smile. Sometimes just a look. But in your heart, there is the desire for life. Therefore, life goes forth.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
I'm feeding you on a little meat. But it is necessary for the people of God to eat meat, especially at this hour, for we need a strength to bring forth the man child.
Amen.
Amen. The church needs strength to bring forth the man child. And at this time, it is absolutely necessary that the man child be strengthened in the womb of the church so that it might come forth. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
You know, the church must travail.
Yes.
There's going to be trouble in the world. Bad trouble in the world. This morning we were praying, and the brethren were saying, how are we going to get the brothers here, and the brothers there, and the brothers in India, and the brothers in Africa, and the brothers in Czechoslovakia, and the brothers in Romania? And we were talking about the whole thing. Germany has been a problem with us. How are we going to get Germany to move in the Spirit of God and forget that they are Germans? My brother went over there, and the Europeans hate Americans, and the brethren could not overcome the idea that the man who was preaching to them was an American. They couldn't get over it. They said, how are we going to do it? How are we going to get over it? Abba. Amen. I said, immediately, I got a quickening. I said, brother, when the first atom bomb bursts in Europe, Europeans going to come to their senses. Amen. Because it is tribulation that is going to bring the people to understand what God is doing in the earth today.
Amen.
You are in a place where you need some tribulation. God said the earth, the church will be in travail. Did you ever understand that?
Yeah.
That to bring forth the man child, she must travail.
Uh-huh.
And when Zion travail, she will bring forth a nation shall be born in a day.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
We must travail. Don't be afraid of suffering. Don't be afraid of trouble, because the trouble is coming to save your soul. Amen. And to save the world.
Amen.
So, but for the elect's sake, no flesh would be saved. Don't you understand it? But for the elect's sake, no flesh would be saved. God depending on you.
Right. Amen. Exactly.
To make yourself an offering.
Right.
Before God.
Yes.
So that humanity and the church might be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You see what's happening, what the devil is doing with the church. Sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Homosexuality. All manner of evil beasts and birds have taken over the church, and the church has become Babylon, and God must save his people out of it.
Amen.
Amen. God's people must be redeemed out of the Babylonian system. If you remain in the Babylonian system, how will you be able to help the others to come out?
Amen.
Amen. So let's go back. We overcome. Remember, we are talking about ancestral sins.
Mm-hmm.
And we just started, because we're going to have to come back the next session and continue it.
Amen.
But your ancestral sins must be overcome now. God is not going to wait any longer. God is not going to wait any longer for us to cease from being Americans, for us to cease from being what we are, from what our families have been, for us to stop to cease to think like our families. We now have to become sons of God, where we think like God.
Amen.
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 And so, here we are, overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Now, why did I tell you that story about the blood? Because you need to get it into your minds. And from your minds, it need to sink down into your heart. Begin to read the crucifixion. Read it over and over. Read it in all the Gospels. And then as you read it, begin to think about it. As you do your work in the days, you think about this. How could this be possible? What really happened? It will sink down in you. It's like going to school and studying maths. It will sink down in you. And the first opportunity that the devil come up against you, you speak the blood.
Amen.
Because it's in you now. And it's come out. It's like arming your gun.
Mm-hmm.
A gun is no use if it's not armed.
Mm-hmm.
Without shots in the gun, it's just another piece of stick.
Right.
Nothing. You must have your guns armed.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And God says that Ephraim, being armed, turn back in the day of battle.
Mm-hmm.
Ephraim, it's the firstborn, must not turn back in the day of battle. You must be armed. Remember the story I tell you about India. If God didn't come and remind me, you know, when he whispered the blood, what did I think of? The vision that Jesus showed me of his crucifixion. And my mind turned from remember now, here is a demon, a horrible fallen angel standing before you, grappling with you, and it is the ugliest thing you ever think of. Two eyes bulging out, and ugly, just absolutely ugly. And if you get to concentrating on how ugly this thing is, you're a loser. You see, he's doing everything to distract you. And when Jesus said blood, I begin to look up to the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Where am I referring to now? I'm referencing back to what he showed me of the blood. The five bleeding wounds. I'm referring back to them. It's the blood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Blood of
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ. And when I said that, I saw blood begin to come through the ceiling. And it hit him right on his head, and he was like a pancake on the floor. Conquered. He started wiggling out. You know, like it was just like a piece of rag. Wiggling out. And I cursed him. And he went right through the door. That spirit will never be the same again. But you see, God ordained us to conquer every spirit that has been hurting and disturbing the human race. At the end of time, these spirits must be put on the foot and cast into the abyss. This is what you are here for. The spirits that are bothering your life, tormenting you, hurting you, making you sick. These are the spirits that we must rise up against by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The word of our testimony is the truth coming out from God.
Amen.
Once I was in darkness, but now I open up to the light. I'm a son of God. He said, praise be to God. Hallelujah. And so we want to stop right there. And to come back again. When we refreshed, we come back again. Amen. Sure. Yes, Messiah. Yeshua, Messiah. Hosian. Hosian, Sacrament. Hallelujah. Yeshua, Messiah. Yehuma, Sacrament, Messiah. Yemoshikana Mahonda. Zana, amen.
Oh, the blood, the precious blood, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood, the precious blood, that powder free us. It will thin and make you whole.